The manus, however, is cognitively obscured. It's cognitively obscured, obviously, because it has taken the alia as I, and the sensations identified, the representations of the sensations as referring to a really existent objective world. You see what I mean? So the manas has got it wrong. The manas is a cognitive error, if you like. So yes, it's cognitively obscured, but it's morally neutral. It's not, as it were, unskillful to be ignorant, which is a great relief. It is, of course, that ignorance that's the basis for our unskillfulness, but it's not in itself unskillful. It's merely getting it wrong, not seeing it straight. And again, I find that quite liberating. I may have got it wrong, but at least I'm not bad. Yet. So it's morally neutral and cognitively obscured. But it's the level of the six outer senses. The six pravritti vijnana, that is outward turning vijnanas, the ones that turn towards what appears to be the objective world. The five physical senses and the mind sense as the perceiver of mental images and the coordinator of the other senses. Those six senses those six minds are the area within which moral issues arise. It's at that level of the evolution of consciousness that moral skillfulness and unskillfulness arises. And they are, of course, cognitively obscured at this stage. So it's at the level of the pravritti vijnana that moral definition comes in. So morally defined and cognitively obscured. This may not be very clear yet, but it hopefully will get clearer as the exposition continues. So, well, we've already seen that it's the manas's seizure of the alia and identifying it as I, etc., that is the issue that we finally need to resolve. It's by reforming the manas, getting the manas to turn away from the alia, that we liberate ourselves and that we're freed from the delusion that experience is experience of somebody, of something, by somebody, of something. And it allows us to realize that there is only experience. So it's that we want to get down to. But on top of that delusion, there is the superstructure of the fully developed consciousness, which is tangled up with the senses. And the Yogacara's teaching is that in order to get to the root of the problem, which lies within the manas, there has to be work at the level of the outer senses, at the level of the constructed consciousness in world that is our ordinary, everyday idea of ourselves in a world, if you see what I mean. So we have to start at that level if we are to get to the problem at its source, at its root. So we have to start by removing what are known as the gross veils in order to get to the subtle ones. It's even more complicated than that, because the gross veils that lie at the level of the pravritti vijnanas here are themselves gross and subtle, if you see what I mean. There's two levels even to the veils within the pravritti vijnana. Sorry, that was probably a little bit too complicated expositionally. We'll refer to them in a different way. You have at the level of the manas what's known as the sahati veils, the inborn or innate or almost instinctive veils. We've seen this already, that we come into life with a strong tendency to delusion, which the manas, sure enough, plays out. So the root of the error lies in the manas, as this sahati veil, the veil that is, as it were, bred into us, that's structurally integral to the whole edifice of our consciousness. at the level of the outer senses, the outer consciousnesses, the sense consciousnesses, the veil is not something that's bred into us. It's something that's cultured into us and that we build up in the course of our lives. We're taught it from the moment that we come into the world, and we continue to build upon it and to develop it. So the veils are, at this level, are cultural, psychological, personal. They're what is known as acquired prakriti. They're constructed, made up. Whereas the veil at the manas level is sort of built in. It's integral. You see what I'm getting at? Yeah, well, there are two levels in that sense. But then the prakriti avarana, prakriti veil, is itself subdivided into gross and subtle. We'll see the significance of that in a while. So you have to work from the most gross level of delusion and attitude to more subtle ones, to ones that are right underneath that, that are completely instinctual, you might almost say. They're born in. Inborn, yeah.
Just, I'm wondering, why is the point made that the manas is moral and neutral? Because it seemed to me that you could coherently argue that its rise to unskillfulness is itself unskillful.
Well, no, because it doesn't always give rise to unskillful. It also gives rise to skillful. So you'd then have to argue that it was skillful too. You can still, as a result of your delusion, you can still act in a constructive way. So that Maitri, for instance, metta, in our own situation, is based upon our self-identification and then our recognition that others are selves too. So it starts with a resonance between our own idea of ourselves, so to speak, and our recognition that others share that. Do you see what I mean? So that it's not that because you've got a manas, you've got necessarily always unskillfulness. Because otherwise, that would mean that we could not but act unskillfully.
It's just a different take. It's sobering to think that my metta is based, when I do experience it, is based on the delusion.
Well, at least to begin with. but of course the tendency is for it to rise beyond itself. Yes, but it is sobering. But at least you're not bad. Yes. Anything else just before I go any further? To make sure. Is it clear enough so far? Maybe it's all startlingly simple.